There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello listeners and welcome to part three of our annual preview review podcast, where we look back and see how shockingly bad we went in our preseason podcast. If you haven't listened to parts one and two, please jump back in and listen to those and make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. I am Archie, and with me, as always, is my good friend Zeno. How are you tonight, mate?
Mate, look, we've just finished trade period about an hour ago after everything that was done. And, yeah, mate, my head's spinning just like everybody else's is, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was. We were just commenting before we started recording, Zeno, that pretty much everything happened apart from Dunkley.
Yes, exactly.
And Haitley.
Yep. Exactly. So Haitley will get picked up by the sounds of it in the PSD by Adelaide anyway. And yeah, the Dunkley thing, I'm not sure how that ended up panning out the way that it did, but it did. So,
and some big fantasy implications, Zeno, which we will have a chat about next week, where I think we're planning on doing a bit of a trade period recap.
We are. We'll have a good look at that and have a look at it from a fantasy point of view, Arch, and see who's going to be impacted and who's going to win from it. So a few tips for the season before we even get there.
That's it. So, but enough about what's coming up, Zeno. This is our last chance to look back at the season that was 2020. So as I say, we've already recorded parts one and two, which means we are up to Collingwood, who this year finished eighth, just scraped into the finals on 9 wins, 7 losses and a draw. They lost to Geelong in the semi-final after beating the Eagles in the elimination final there. Now, I set the line at 11.2 this year, and for once, Zeno, I'm starting off on a good wicket here. I went the under, and I should mention as well that in this podcast, the equivalent in the over-under podcast, we were joined by our good friend Footy Rhino from the Hardball Gets podcast. So
yes,
we've got his tips in here as well.
We
so
do.
I went under and you and Rhino went over. Zeno, how did you see Collingwood's... let's not talk about their disastrous trade period too much. We'll cover that off next week. But how did you see their season that was?
Look, they got, as it happens, and we can never predict this sort of thing when we do these things, but they got decimated by injury pretty badly throughout the year, Arch. And probably lost three or four games they probably shouldn't have. You can't say shouldn't have, but they should have been expected to win. So that's probably what cost them in the end, to sort of, you know, push a little bit higher than what most expected to. But, you know, I would have liked to have said, and we're not going to get too much into this as you said, I would have liked to have said, you know what? It'd be interesting to see how things go next year for them. You know, if they bounce back, well, with what's happened today, there's not much chance of that happening. So, yeah, who knows how they're going to go next year, Arch?
I did like some of their kids, though, Zeno. Dacos, in particular, did very well.
Yeah.
And the couple of Brown boys as well, I think, will come along quite nicely. They got some good games under their belt this year. So it's not all doom and gloom, Zeno, but it's hard to find the silver lining at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, listen, we'll talk more about this next week. There wasn't a lot of... it wasn't pretty today. It wasn't pretty. And we'll just leave it at that and go from there, I think, Arch. We can't do much more than that. We really can't.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. We're going to discuss it a lot next week.
Exactly. All right, mate. So that moves us on to Richmond. Now, they finished third on the ladder with 11 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw, and, of course, were the eventual premiers of the season. So, look, you know, Richmond are just doing the job. Again, they were very quiet today, but, you know, you don't try and fix something that's not broke, I guess. Look, you set the line at 12.75. We all went overs for that, Arch, and we're all wrong. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, look, Richmond had a solid season. At one point, they were right down at the bottom of the eight, and they may have even dropped out at some point. Again, I don't think Hub Life agreed with them too much to start with there. And they ended up clawing their way. At one point, it looked like they might not finish top four, which would have been devastating for a couple of early season bets that I had in place. But obviously, look, you can't argue with what happened there, Zano. They won the whole thing, so they did quite well. Now, to be fair, the line was set at 12.75 Corona Ball.
Yes.
And they won 11.5.
Yeah, exactly.
So we weren't too far off. And from memory, we were all marginally over there because we set it quite high.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, they copped a couple of injuries here and there as well. Like Hooley, well, not so much injuries, but Hooley went home for, you know, I think he missed probably 4 to 6 weeks in the end, something like that. Yep. So
Edwards as well.
Edwards as well. So there was a few things that happened there. And look, they, I mean, again, we might have got their wins and losses wrong, but you can't knock their season. If you win the flag, you don't knock anything, do you?
Absolutely. Cool. All right. Speaking of teams that did quite well, we move on to Brisbane, who finished second with 14 wins and 3 losses. They won their qualifying final before losing in the preliminary final to Geelong.
Yep.
Now, I set the line for this one, Corona Ball, at 10.4 wins for the season. We all went under, and we were all well and truly wrong, Zano. We all predicted a big fall off. What were your thoughts around the lines?
Look, I'm going to have to say you'd consider it a fairly disappointing year for Brisbane. Now, their home and away season, you would say they would have been pretty happy with, right? Finishing second on the ladder. But their finals, they with the way that things panned out in the hub, I mean, truly also them being that they didn't have to leave home all year, or barely all year, probably added 2 or 3 wins to them as well. So, you know, we got to take that into consideration. It gives ourselves a little bit of a slap on the back on that arch. We're not as far away as what we sound like. But, yeah, I think, again, the season itself was great, but I think they'd be really disappointed. And with the opportunity they had at home all year, including the finals, I think they would have really expected to win a grand final this year themselves with the opportunity that they had. So they played well, but, yeah, I reckon there'd still be some disappointment through the club because of a missed opportunity.
Yeah, look, absolutely there would be disappointment, but I think you're overstating it. I think last year they, if you remember, they went out in straight sets in the finals. So with a young list, sure, they've got a couple of oldies there, you know, Birchall, Zorko, they've been around a little while, but the majority of them are quite young. And, you know, they've got through to the prelim, so they've won a final, which is the next step. They've got a Brownlow medalist on their books now, who had a magnificent year. Next year is going to be the test for these guys. So, as you say, they were fortunate to have the majority of games up there in Brisbane. And they want to, as any team does, you want to look to improve year on year. So it's going to be interesting. I think next year, if they don't make the grand final or at least put up a hell of a good show in a prelim, I think that's when they would be disappointed.
So my question to you, Arch, is you say you want to improve year on year, and we can only talk about what has happened. You can't. Speculation's too hard. If they hadn't been up in Brisbane and the hub's been up there the whole time, do you think they would have had as many wins if they had to travel a bit?
Probably not, no. But the fact is they did.
No, that's what I mean, they did. So, again, part of this is speculation on what we thought, right, which we know. And based on that, if it was a normal season, I probably would have expected them to not be that good. I can't remember where they finished or what they had the year before. I'm just having a quick look now.
They finished top four because they went out in straight sets.
Straight sets, they did. So they finished, from memory, they finished second last year.
Yeah, okay.
With a total of 6. They actually finished equal first last year on points. So they finished second again this year. They had 16 wins last year. What did we say they had?
They had 14 wins this year. 14. If you extrapolate it out, it's probably about the same, maybe an extra win this year.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what I mean. Like, I reckon that they'd be disappointed by that missed opportunity they had this year. And in reality, they may not have improved as much as we would have liked. I'm not saying they're not going to improve and go bonkers at some stage. I think they're a premiership team they've got together. But, yeah, I reckon they would have liked more with the opportunity they had this year. That's where I'm leaving it.
I think 17 teams would have liked more, Zano.
Oh, well, yeah. That's all right. But, you know, some realistically can, some realistically can't. All right, so let's move on to Geelong. Geelong finished fourth on the ladder with 12 wins, 5 losses. Lost to Richmond in the grand final. In fact, got capitulated by Richmond in the second half of the grand final, let's be honest.
Yep.
You set the year line at 11.2. You went the overs. Me and Rhino both went the unders, so we are not tracking well at the moment. And I thought age would catch up with them, but that didn't happen just yet. It will, just not yet. how do you think Geelong went, Arch?
Look, as expected, Zano. So the year before in 2019, they lost the prelim to GWS from memory.
Yep.
And this year they took one step further. So one thing with Geelong is they're well coached, they're well drilled. They did hub life pretty well there to get into the top four, and they were always there and about in the top four, steady there. Lots of good senior players. Now, as you say, that is going to cause issues at some point. It didn't this year, but at some point there will be, three or four of their, they're going to go through what Hawthorn are going through at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah, easily. Yep.
Where their top line players are either... they're going to go the other way. At the moment, they've got players in their last two or three years coming to Geelong, like Higgins and
Smith.
I think Isaac Smith went there as well.
Yep.
At some point, I think it's going to be the other way. They're going to need to look at bringing in some youth. So, you'll see the ends of the guys like Dangerfield, Selwood. Obviously, we saw Ablett and Taylor retire this year. I think Taylor retired.
He did, yes.
I was impressed that they got to where they did. I didn't expect them to make the grand final, to be honest. I thought I was a bit like you. They would, their list wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
But Hawkins having a cracker year definitely helps. He's, even though he's, 30, 31, he's had one of his best years to date there. So what impact Cameron coming in will have next year, look, time will tell. But, obviously... they would have liked to have gone one step further, but I don't think they can be disappointed with where they ended up.
I think it's interesting. I think they'd start to be showing a fair bit of disappointment because they've needed to win a flag for two or three years now. You know, they have been in that window and they've been pushing hard and they've always just fallen over. Like, was it 3 years in a row they lost a prelim or something like that?
Yeah,
and now they've made a grand final and they've lost that as well. They know that they are hanging on by the skin of their teeth. So I think they would be disappointed that they haven't got that grand final. I mean, you can't be disappointed with your year finishing on top of finishing fourth and making a grand final, right? Let's be honest. But again, it's all relative, isn't it? So, was Gold Coast's ambition this year to make a grand final or win a grand final? No, it wasn't. What was their ambition? Their ambition might have been to win six games, which they did. So they would have achieved what they wanted to this year. Geelong would have, would have been wanting to win a grand final. So by not winning a grand final, they've probably underachieved on their expectations. So, I think they had a good year in comparison to everybody else. But in comparison to their own thoughts, I reckon they'd be a bit upset that they couldn't get there again. Next year is going to be a whole different story. But you're right. Like, you look at who they brought in Higgins and Smith this year. At some stage, they're going to have, 7 to 8 of their best 22 have to retire in a year or two. So that's going to decimate them. There's a few teams like that. Richmond's in a similar boat. West Coast are in a very similar boat. That's just what happens when you're up there pushing for a flag for 3, 4, 5 years. It's the way the system's designed to work. So they won't be the only ones, but at some stage, I think that, it will catch up with them and they will come crashing back down pretty hard. So
I reckon if they don't get one premiership out of the Dangerfield era, at least, then they'll be disappointed. And realistically, they've got 1, maybe 2 years to get that done.
I reckon they've got two. I reckon they've got 2 years left in the bulk of their list that's there, and then that's it. And that's playing, because you might be right. By their last season, some of these guys might be on their last leagues anyway. So, is Hawkins going to be as good as he is now at 35? Probably not. So... it is what it is. So, but yeah, as I said, it's all relative. We think they've had a great year. The club themselves would probably have some level of disappointment in their season for sure.
Yep. All right, Zano, off to... So that was all the teams done and dusted. Fair to say we sucked with that. Let's see how we went with the fun stuff that we did at the end of the podcast with Rhino. So We're going to start off by, we tried to do the lines there, or the over-under, for fantasy scoring average at the end of the season.
Yep.
So we started with Tom Mitchell, and I set the line at 108.5, or Corona Ball, that was 86.8.
Yeah.
He actually, we were pretty close, and I think this was about as close I got. His actual average for the season was 85.8. You went the under, and Rhino and I went the over there. So yes, we're all, obviously, and from memory, the discussion was all pretty close there.
Yeah.
So you got the tick there. How did you see Tom Mitchell's season?
I actually predicted that he'd come good in the second half of the year, but it was actually almost the opposite, wasn't it? I think he fell away in the second half of the year, didn't he, from memory?
I think he built a little bit there. It took him a while to get going, but towards the end of the season, I think his second half was stronger than his first half.
Was it? Hang on, I'm just having a look quickly now. I'm just going to have a look at his 2020 scoring. Yeah, he became more consistent in the second half of the year. He probably averaged much the same. He had a couple of really poor games in there. He had one really low game, but his standard deviation wasn't anywhere near as bad. You know, he was going between 69s and 107s, and except for that 158, the rest of his scores for the rest of the year were between about 90 and 110. So, yeah, he was a lot more consistent, probably about the same average. So, look, not bad year coming back from a pretty horrific injury. So,
sure.
And, of course, playing in a worse team than he did the year that he played the season or so before. So, solid enough, but, you know, probably expecting more from him, to be honest.
Yep.
Probably expecting more from him.
Marginally, for me and Rhino anyway, we expected more from him.
Yep. Yep.
All right, next up, we had Sauce Jacobs. Now, the Corona line for him was 67.8. Again, I was pretty close with this one. He actually finished on 64.1. You and I, we both went the over, Zeno, and Rhino went the under. I think we've got to be a bit disappointed with Sauce's season. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, not so much his 64. I mean, what's that calculate out to? About an 80, which is about what we expected, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, probably about a... Yeah, probably about an 80.
Yeah, be about an 80.
78 to 80. And I think we said all along we'd like him to go around 75 to 80 is what you... If you're selecting him to start the season, that's what you'd want from him. The problem was he just was in and out all the time.
Yeah.
As always.
Yeah, there was no consistency. As a fantasy performer, you couldn't pick him because he was in one week out.
And the next. And that was the part that killed us. So I wasn't too worried. His score I thought was pretty nice. Or as good as what you'd want from him. But he just didn't really do it. But just on a quick note there, Arch, I just did a quick count, and I think we mentioned this in our wrap for the season. I played 7 ruckmen in 2020. 7 different ruckmen played on my ruck line at some stage for me. What's really interesting is after this trade period we've just been through, might be doing the same thing again because Proust is an absolute lock to start the season for me as my R2 at this stage. So, 100%. You know, glutton for punishment, you have to say. Yep.
All right, and lastly, Zana, and I think we're now going to have to put a moratorium on this bloke. It might be the last time we discuss him in something like this. And it's our good mate from Melbourne, Angus Brayshaw. Now, the Corona Ball line for him was 70.8. He actually went 63.5. Zana, you went the under. Rhino and I both went the over. I think we were being a little bit optimistic there. Obviously, we were being optimistic. And once again... Gus Brayshaw just finds another way to slap me in the face. How did you find Gus's season and, more importantly, Zano, the Melbourne midfield?
Yeah, so I said in the podcast as well, and you've got the note here, is that I also noted that Petrarca will be the new Guns D midfielder. So I should get two ticks for that, Arch, because I've got both of those right. So I know it's not fair. I'm going to take anything I can get. Yeah, look, with Viney coming back in as well as Petrarca sort of jumping the gun a fair bit this year. Yeah, he just couldn't... He can't find his place in that team at the moment. I'm sort of surprised he hasn't been put up or looked for a trade. Maybe he has and they've said no, who knows. But, yeah, he's not fitting into that midfield at the moment, Arch. And you're right, I think it's time we move on from Gus. He hit the high heights for his 15 minutes of fame and it might be a while till we see him back up there again.
Yep. And it'll probably be next year, Zano, because I'm not planning on keeping him in our main keeper league this year.
Okay.
So it's probably, now that I'm going to drop him back to the draft pool, it'll be this year that he goes off again now that I don't have him.
Yeah, well, that's good to know, because I reckon about 6 of the guys listen to this podcast in our keeper league. So, yeah, that's that. Don't, I'm going to edit that out because, you know, I wouldn't mind sneakily picking him up with my first round pick then, just in case. So that's cool. All right, Arch, moving on to a bit of a, we sort of had a bit of a quick fire round here. So we'll run through that again. It was going to be a who averages more. So first thing we looked at was last year's top three scoring players, which were McRae, Grundy and Kelly. Grundy had a 90.9, McRae a 90.3, Nicali 84.9. I said Grundy and you two boys said McRae. Anything major there? I think Kelly's probably the biggest surprise there. He was a fair way back compared to Grundy and McRae, who were 0.6 of a point average away.
Yeah.
So, in Kelly, though, I'm just interested. Did he ever have an injury-riddled game in there? He may have come off.
Oh, it's Josh Kelly, mate. He probably
Josh
did.
Kelly. Yeah, so I'm just having a quick look now. So, if that was the case, maybe you should have adjusted it for the, you know, injury-massed game. Yeah, it looks like that one there. It looks like he came off in round 14.
Yep.
Coughed a heavy knee to the jaw by Mumford in the last quarter and did not, in the second quarter and didn't return.
Yeah, okay.
And it was on 56 points at the time. So that probably just about levels him up to the pack as well.
What surprised me with this one, Zeno, is Grundy actually topping the score out of those three.
I know.
Not that the, I actually thought that McRae would have done it quite easily, given that Grundy had a pretty poor end of the season, but I'm thinking maybe his performance in the finals are what is tainting my recollection there, which so, obviously we don't include in that.
Yeah, well, no, he actually had a pretty good end to the season, other than finals.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so he went in reverse order. He had a 57 and a 67 in his two finals. Yep, wipe that out. From round 18,
that's what I mean. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
He had a poor end
of from
the season.
From round 18 backwards, he had 92, 90, 76, 90, 71, 101.
Yep.
So he had, yeah, no, he was good most of the year except for those finals. So that might be what you tainted there. I think McRae had a bit of a slow start as well. So, and he had a period that he went bonkers. All right, Arch, a bit of preseason hype. Now, this is forwards returning from injuries in the seasons, and you picked Stephen, Devon Smith, and Buddy. And it was going to be who scores more. Now, luckily, we all said Smith here, because Stephen scored average 69.1 from his 10 games, lunch meat 70.4 from his 16, and Buddy, well, he's got a did not participate award for the year. So at least we can move on from that one, Arch. We all got a tick on Devon Smith, and moved on from there. The next one you called Ruck and Roll, so I like that, Arch. Jacobs, Lysette, or Nick Nat? Who was going to score more? Now, this ended up extremely close. That Jacobs averaged 64.1, Lysette 66.1, and Nick Nat 68.2. Now, we all said Lysette in that, Arch, so Nick Nat's pipped us by a couple of points there, so we all get the cross for it. But in saying that, who do you reckon the best value was out of those three?
Well, considering Jacobs missed near on half the games, he needs to go straight away. I actually think if you were looking season long, I do think you have to go Nick Nat, to be honest, because from memory, he was priced a little bit less than Lysette at the start of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, Nick Nat's the answer there.
I think Nick Nat was the best value if you consider it. If you consider it just on average, Jacobs was the best value for sure because he was priced so much lower than everybody else. But based on the fact that we, have 17 games or 22 games, 23 rounds generally a year, Nick Nat was your better option by a mile.
Yep.
This will be an easy one, Arch. Dom off two, Dom Sheed or Dom Tyson? We said Sheed in part two of the podcast. Rhino also said Sheed. We know that that was Cam getting out of a bit of a technicality on that one. But, it is Dom Sheed after all. So,
yep.
It's all good.
I don't think we're going to be going around with the Dom off part three. I'll have to see what Cam's got to say. Dom Tyson's still got another year on the contract, so it is a possibility, but I don't know if Cam wants to put himself through that again.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, but he is playing for North Melbourne. They've got no one else left, so.
Well, you know, that's very true.
There is a chance that he could be one more, you know, stint at it there.
All right, Zano, next up, we've got the end-of-season awards, and this is, there's a lot of red on the run sheet here.
Yeah,
these
is,
are the hardest
there.
Ones to predict. So we started off with the Brownlow medal, obviously won by Brisbane superstar Lachie Neale. Zano, you said the Bont. I went Cogs, and Rhino went Paddy Cripps, none of which finished in the top 10 of the Brownlow count.
No, but I'd like to say that I think Bont was the closest.
I think you're probably right there, Zane. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, so I should get a tick just over everybody else. No, I can't. Yeah, we had a shocker with the Brownlow. I mean, the Brownlow, as you said, Ash, it's so hard to predict.
Yep.
Especially with injuries and stuff like that. And who would have predicted Corona Ball?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. All right, next up, Zane, we got the Rising Star. And this one was a little bit hard because after three and a half rounds, whatever it was,
we
were all giving ourselves a big tick. We all went Matty Rowell, and he was leading the race by he'd lapped the field effectively.
Yeah.
But obviously that shoulder injury stuffed that for all of us. So the actual winner was Caleb Sarong, who did have a great season, not taking anything away from him there. But I think if Rowell didn't get injured, it would have been his by a mile.
Well, if Rowell had played two more games, he probably would have had a lead that was unbeatable as well. That's how much it was. So,
yep.
Yeah, he's very unlucky. But I do believe he's eligible next year as well, again.
Oh, yeah, okay. That could be the easiest pick.
Yeah, I'd have to confirm that. I don't think he played enough games to be ineligible.
Yeah, no, so, you're probably right there.
Yeah, so right. I'd have to confirm that. I'm sure I remember hearing something around those traps at some stage. So, yeah, if that's the case, just chuck money on him at $1 now.
Yep. The next one is pretty embarrassing, so I don't know, to be honest. So we went the Coleman medal. Now, you went Jeremy Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
I went Ben Brown. And Rhino also went Jeremy Cameron. So Cameron and Brown, both of which had horrible seasons. So Cameron kicked 24 goals. Ben Brown kicked a whopping 8.
Yep.
Neither of which got anywhere near the actual winner, which was Tom Hawkins with 42 goals.
No. That was... Look, it's interesting to be how you go next year because both those guys aren't at the same club that they started this year at. So,
yep.
You know, Ben Brown at Melbourne, I think he's going to be a good prospect. And look, Jeremy Cameron in that Geelong midfield, with that Geelong midfield coming at him, who knows how he's going to go. He could have a bit of a field day as the season goes on, so...
Yeah, well, based on the splits from the numbers there, you'd probably expect 30 goals each from Hawkins and Cameron.
Yes, exactly. So
a few more from Cameron and a few less from Hawkins.
Yeah. You'd probably split it a little bit more, but it also depends how they use them. Like Hawkins doesn't get up and down the ground well. It's not his role. Cameron can. So Cameron may work a lot further away from goals yet as well. Who knows?
All right, Zano, and lastly, we did the Premiers and the Norm Smith medal. So you and I both went GWS, and
yep.
You went Cogs for the Norm Smith, and I went Josh Kelly, so big fat red crosses there.
Yeah.
Rhino, mate, there's a reason why this bloke gets paid to do this stuff, and we just do it for fun on Monday nights. He predicted Richmond to win the Premiership and Dusty to win the Norm. So, as I say, mate, Footy Rhino comes through again.
Yeah, it's one of those funny ones, isn't it? If you get one, you're very big chance of getting two.
Yep.
And
if you're picking Richmond, you're picking Dusty, aren't you?
Exactly, in that sort of thing. So, yeah, well done, definitely, to Rhino there. I mean, like, the Norm Smith medalist this year was just an undebatable scenario, yep. Wasn't it? So... It was just dusty.
Yeah, no, that's it. So, how did we all end up, Zano? That's what everyone's asking. I know everyone's listening to the last three podcasts going, who actually won? So, before we get to the overall results from part three, so Rhino, he had that extra question in there with Dom Sheed. So,
yep.
He finished on 5 out of 16.
Yep.
Even though I started off strongly, I finished extremely poorly. I'm a little bit like GWS at Gold Coast at this point.
Yep.
I think I had 3 out of 3 and then ended up with 3 out of 15. for that one. And Zeno, you finished on 4 out of 15 for this round.
So terrible.
So terrible. Obviously, with that one, it's probably a tie between you and Rhino. You might have just got him. I forgot to do the percentages there.
That's fine.
But I reckon you might have just pipped him there for part three.
Yep.
Overall, Zeno, this is where it gets really embarrassing. Rhino ended up on 31%, correct?
Yep.
But to be fair, he had the hardest round to actually do.
Without any doubt.
I was not much better on 32%, getting 14 right out of 43.
Yep.
Then we had your good self on 39% with 17 out of 43.
Yep.
Tim from the Herald Sun, he ended up with a very, very solid 6 out of 12 in the first round. And Doss, I don't know if we can live this down. Doss was the actual winner there, 57%, 8 out of 14 in part two. So hats off to Doss there. Let's see if he can back it up next year.
Yeah, but he got the one that was the most important one wrong, and that was who's going to rank highest in fantasy this year, Arch. So, you know, we should be given double points somewhere along the lines, I think. So,
yeah.
But that's fair enough.
Said, all right, Zeno. So that is it for our 2020 preview review. That is the last time we will look back on the 2020 season, and thank God for that. What a season it was.
Oh, mate, it's been tumultuous a season, to say the least, hasn't it? It's just, like, what can you say at the end of the day? What can you say about 2020?
That's it. So I do want to take this time, Zeno, to thank Rhino, to thank Doss, and to thank Tim for coming on our our Over-Under podcast at the start of the year. And also thank all the listeners that listened to us throughout the year there. Everyone who participated in OTLS Pick'em. Shout out to Dottie, who won that one again.
Yep.
He has, his car is being delivered, Zeno.
Beautiful.
So I did see during the week that the winner of the AFL Fantasy got a big photo with his car. I've asked Dottie for the same, and I reckon ours will be more special.
I reckon it'll get, it'll have to hashtag better for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And thank you, Zeno, for all your hard work throughout the year. We don't sleep here at OTLS, so we will be back with plenty more in the off-season as well.
Yep, and that's exactly right. And thank you, Arch. So, as always, you can get me at OTLS Zeno and overlinesports.com.au by check my house price. Of course, as you've mentioned, we thank Footy Rhino, HK Doss, and Tim Mitchell. But just to plug those guys, to follow those guys on Twitter, you've got at Footy Rhino, at HK Doss, and at Tim _ Mitchell. Make sure you're finding those guys. I think most of the guys that listen to this podcast have probably worked it out by now anyway. So that's cool. Look, now that the bulk of our footy stuff's out of the way, BBL will start cranking up in the next week or two. So keep an eye out for anything there. But all that's aside, Arch, look, thanks again as well for the season. And we're going to be back straight into it, looking into next year as of next week. So as you said, there's no rest for the wicked.
No, that's it, mate. And can't wait. Happy to start looking forward rather than back. That was the crapshoot of 2020.
Absolutely. Good luck, everyone, and talk soon.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.